Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Bounce back in Boston. That has to be the theme right now for Buffalo as they get set for the Bees tomorrow night. First road game of the year after the home game last night. Unfortunately, does not produce a goal, let alone a win, Marty Baron. So what's the immediate reaction takeaway? There's a lot to discuss based on health of players, those who weren't available, and those who might be available moving forward.
I think the immediate reaction, Duffer, is the pace. The pace has to be better. And I'm going to keep my voice a little lower, less excitement today, trying to save that. I was grinding last night.
Thanks for sharing it with me, too. Really cool of you.
So we both have the tea going and everything is good. But so the pace, that was the number one thing. Like the Sabres did have a couple of good looks, and it could have made a difference. It was a 1-0 game until 5 minutes left. So you look at it and you say, hey, you know, Norris break, partial breakaway, Tage Thompson one-timer. There was the Norris one-timer. There was some good looks. But could you have created more looks by having more pace in your play? I think that was the one thing. That's something that we saw from a lot of teams on day one and day two, and they recovered in their second and third game potentially. That's the start of the year. The Rangers had no pace against Pittsburgh on Tuesday. They had a lot more pace last night. So I think the pace of play is for me the number one, I don't want to say concern, but adjustment the Sabres have to make.
Right, and then there's Alex Lyon, who was watching it all unfold in front of him. The team did, after the first half of the first period, ended up having the majority of the shots and things of that nature, but they were unable to produce a goal to get things even. And then the roof kind of caves in on the team in the final 5 minutes of the game. So it goes from 1-0 super tight. You're thinking, okay, well, maybe they're going to have to pull their goalie and try to get the equalizer this way. And then they never had the chance. And that's the unfortunate reality on a night when you thought what about Alex Lyon?
I thought Lyon did exactly what he had to do. He was good. He was calm. The saves that he made didn't make him look too hard. So to me, that's exactly what you needed to get. Now, I'll say this. As a team and as a goalie, when the game is 1-0, you have to find a way to keep it 1-0. And I'm not saying that's on Alex Lyon, but giving up that second goal kind of gave the team it's going to be a lot harder. We're already having a tough time scoring. Now we got to score two. And the third goal was, when Susie came down. No, Susie was the second goal. The third goal was the deflection. But I feel like that Susie second goal was a big deflator. And as a goalie and as a team, you're like, we cannot give that goal up. We have to keep it at 1-0. So was Lyon good? Yeah, he was good. Was he an issue? Absolutely not. But was that second goal to make it 2-0? And there was a breakdown. There was a turnover on the wall. Nobody came up to Susie. He walked down Broadway and scored. But that's one as a team and as a goalie, you got to keep it 1-0 so you get a chance in the last minute.
Indeed. And, we talked a lot last year about, some of the missed opportunities in 6-on-5 and what have you late in games. And unfortunately, didn't get to that. Missed opportunities probably were power play, obviously, as they went 0-for-4. Yeah. But more on Lyon, and let's look at it, hear from it, from Lindy's standpoint, the fact that he addressed everything, including his opening night starter afterwards.
Yeah, I don't, you can't, I think he gave us a chance to win a hockey game. Like I said, with, It was a low chance affair. Like, I think if you looked at both teams, both goalies were, I thought both goalies were good. We made a big mistake on that second goal. You know, we turned the puck over on the wall, which allowed, you know, we were trying to head out on offense and we turned it over and, you know, we put our goalie in a bad spot there. But to that point, we'd played a pretty clean, you know, second period, and to that point in the third, you know, pretty clean. So I thought his game, he was sharp.
Presumably happened on the analytics side. Didn't seem to change anything, Marty, unless you see it differently or have read it differently. It really was, according to Natural Stat Trick and the eye test, a pretty low high danger chance game. I'm yes. still seeing it at 4-4. Is that what you're saying?
And it was 4-1 in the first period. So, yeah, you didn't give up any, like Lindy said, second period. I think the Sabres defensively were much better, and mm-hmm. they started creating and started to take over. I still didn't like the, like, let's just say the Sabres' full pace, full speed would be 100%. Mm-hmm. I feel like it started at 70 and ended at 85. Like, you still have another gear to go to, right? That's really what it came down to. And that was on offense and defense. I think that there was another gear, another quickness of execution that needed to happen.
So where does that come from? How much of it, if any, is from kind of line changes throughout? Like, obviously, Benson wasn't out there. Hopefully he's back very soon. Power was ill. And you didn't have your Power Kesselring much talked about off-season pair. So just perhaps, it's not an excuse, I'm just asking you, like, lack of continuity. Does that play any role in the percentages that you're speaking of as far as energy and pace and things like that?
I think it does, because for the better part of 2 weeks, you work on something, right? You're with the same people, you're working, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, things have changed. Like, things have changed on the back end. With a couple of players, I think Kesselring and Power would definitely help with the pace and the transition and moving the puck up the ice. And then up front, well, Benson wasn't there. I felt like Benson, Norris, Thompson were really good in preseason. Mm-hmm. But now you're losing a little bit of that. Maybe two-thirds of it now, with Norris being, you know, like Lindy Ruff said after the game, he didn't finish the game, so that's not good. And we'll see what happens. It was a non-contact injury. It's a face-off. And we could see it in his face when he was sitting on the bench, grabbing to his left side, like, this is not good. Like,
and Josh Dunn being recalled today from Rochester.
Josh Dunn being recalled today, you're right. And let's also remember that it was, I believe, a core injury to Josh Norris last year that he was dealing with, mm-hmm. You know, that he came back and played 2.5 games for the Sabres and then missed the rest of the season. So, so that was concerning, but, you know, and then the lines got a little bit scrambly. You saw, I wrote them down here, but you saw, Tuck with Kulik and Quinn. You saw Zucker taking the place of Krebs and playing with Norris and Thompson. Mm-hmm. So things got changed up and they really rolled 11 forward. So I mean, you had to. The second period was filled with penalties, so that mm-hmm. broke the rhythm. But you have to be able to now say, okay, this is what we have to expect when it comes to the pace. And the Rangers were just a little quicker.
Yeah, they were, and the opponent now for Buffalo tomorrow is Boston, who've gotten off to a good start themselves as they are 2-0. Now, they played the majority of the game last night without Hampus Lindholm. He left with a lower body injury and is getting evaluated today. It was described as a minor injury by Coach Sturm, and that has to be the hope after he missed the bulk of last year. So they're off to a good start, and they got really solid goaltending from two different players in Swayman on opening night, and Korpisalo was excellent in helping them defeat the Hawks in overtime.
Yeah, and look, the Bruins, I mean, David Pastrnak is always going to be somebody you got to watch. And defensively, you talk about Swayman in game one. Corpusello was good. He made a couple of unbelievable saves in that game, which was like, oh, okay, like you're getting a performance like that from your backup goaltender. Mm-hmm. But in game one, Boston only had 22 shots. Last night, they ended up with 33. So, you know, they did play Chicago. And Chicago is a team that, in my opinion, is going to be going through some growing pains again this year. But I was impressed with Boston. I was impressed with some of the speed, especially in the game last night, from some of the guys that you don't really expect or you've not really paid attention to. So, good on Casey Milstead. He got a goal, but that's not really the focus. The focus of the Boston Bruins is going to be, Pasternak and Lidholm and those guys, and they were good in last night's game. So you're going to have to really check against them.
Sabres are practicing this hour. You'll get more updates, hopefully from us, but certainly through Sabres social as the day goes on, as it pertains to potential lineup news for tomorrow and injuries that the club is still dealing with today. We'll have more on the Amerks and their season opener coming up, and a lot from around the NHL on what was a 14-game night. Marty, how many games tonight?
Zero plus zero equals zero.
Okay, remember,
but zero times zero is you can't find it.
Marty, you're on a word count. Just say zero, not with a paragraph extended to it.
That's okay.
Okay, so zero games today. All of
16
them.
16 tomorrow.
Right, and then one on Sunday. So plan accordingly. It is.
I'm sure Shayna Goldman, who will be with us at the bottom of the hour, is excited about that.
Shayna will be with us for her first regular season appearance here on Sabres Live this season. We had the pleasure of speaking with Commissioner Gary Bettman on the broadcast on MSG last night. The commissioner also spoke with the media while he was in town briefly for opening night and the topic of a next Winter Classic in Buffalo, of course, came up.
It would be great. I'm not making an announcement or committing to it, but we're kind of focused on whether or not we can do it around the 20th anniversary of the original Winter Classic. But we've already had discussions about the possibility of an outdoor game at Highmark, and that's something that we think would be great. No, we believed it would be something special, and it was. And if you were a Hollywood producer, you couldn't have scripted it any better that day. The crowd was great, the building was full, the game was great, the weather conditions, you know, gave you the snow globe effect. The fact that the game went into a shootout, I know from Buffalo's standpoint, it was the wrong outcome, but it was still a great event. And it launched us onto 43 outdoor games. I may be off a little bit, and we're grateful that we did it here first, and we're going to come back, I promise. Just got to work out the schedule, and it's going to be great to put it in the new building.
Yeah, we can all take issue with the scripting of that game. The ending needed to be completely different, but at least he acknowledged it in a secondary way.
Let me ask you a question, Duffer. The commissioner mentioned potentially the 20th anniversary of the original Winter Classic. When it comes to the big numbers like this, are you more of a 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary? Like a quarter?
The real anniversaries are 25, 50, 75. We all know that.
Okay, that's what I thought. But yeah. I get that they may want one sooner rather than later because it's a new building.
I guess, but if the Bills are going the way they should be going in the new building, you really want to throw a hockey rink into the middle of it in the playoffs? Or
you can't.
Close to?
You won't be able to. You won't be able to do it on January 1st. You may be able to do it in like March, like end of February, early March. You may be able to, but that wouldn't be
a
Winter
Classic.
It has
to be a Winter Classic. So it will be over the new year. But yeah, no. The beauty.
What if you did this? What if you, that wouldn't be the case. But like, what if you did a Winter Classic in the old building before it gets this, like, get torn down?
I don't think anybody wants that.
I know. They want the new building. But how cool would that be? Say, hey, before we tear it down, because there won't be any football being played there, you could actually, like, do it right.
Yes. Well, of course, the scheduling is the key. The commissioner mentioned it, and you can make it work. And the beauty is this is now 20 years, or it will be by then, of staging these events. And to say that the league has become excellent and efficient and all the rest at this process is an understatement. The people that work on this are brilliant, and they will make it work within the confines of an NFL schedule. So I have no qualms.
And the football stadiums are better suited for that than the baseball stadium.
100%. Well, I wouldn't say that. I think both are. It's just, you just have to have the buy-in from the host and the facility operators. And, you know, like, again, I think it's something terrific to look forward to for sure, and almost expected in this market once the new stadium opens.
Yes.
And we look forward to that. Indoors tonight in Rochester. Oh, by the way, you know, we promised to keep tabs on practice as it's ongoing here. It certainly appears that Norris, Benson, and Power not practicing right now. So again, if you missed it, Josh Dunn was recalled from Rochester. Their opening night is tonight, Marty, the Amerks, and they're home to Toronto. And it's really interesting in year two under head coach Michael Leone, what he's going to be working with this roster. I want to say specifically up front, but there is so much youth at the moment on the blue line too. It's just that youth has a little bit more experience outside of Radim Mertka. Yep. But it's pretty interesting looking at their top six and having Wahlberg, Helenius, and Rosean, and Fiddler Schultz with Ostlund and Neuchev. Like, this is a very young but really talented group of six players. How do you view it?
I view it the same way. They're very talented. There's some very different type of...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Skill set. There's a little bit of size. There's some offense. There's some defense. There's some speed. Mm-hmm. There's some physicality. So I view this as, this will be a very fun year, I believe, in Rochester. A very successful year. I think Michael Leone, the head coach, is going to have a chance to really develop and continue to mold these guys for the NHL. And compete at the AHL level, which they were able to do last year. But I'm looking at this year, I think that this could be a championship-winning team in Rochester, even though they're pretty young. They have that ability and that skill level to be able to do it.
Their captain is Zach Metsa. Their goaltender tonight is Devin Levi. The expectation is he'll be backed up by Laininen. And, of course, when they announce their opening night roster, we know this not only from last year, but then his preseason with the Sabres, how important Josh Dunn is going to be to this team. And Dunn, of course, on the Amerks opening night roster, but then recalled today to Buffalo. So they also have shown us, based on what we saw through Prospects Challenge and Sabres games, like, there's a lot of depth here fighting for the last, I don't know, 3 to 6 spots on any given night in the Amerks lineup. But blue line specific, you've got the captain playing with Novikov, which was a familiar pair. And by the way, like, incredible tip of the cap to Zach Metsa. So this is his second full year, but he's experienced. You know, he's laid out of college after a championship. He came into the Amerks in the playoffs for a really terrific run and, like, immediately looked like he knew the pro game. Now he's captain in his second full year. Mm-hmm. He'll play with Novikov. You got Jones and Komarov, which is a new pairing, obviously, with Jones in the organization. And Rathbone, who showed incredibly well last year with the Amerks, he's a veteran, is paired up with Mertka tonight. So it's different when you're up against what is almost always a veteran and consistently good Marlies team.
Well, that's the AHL. There's a lot of experience. There's a lot of guys that could play in the NHL that are there, depending on the rosters, depending on the teams. Buffalo and Rochester have definitely had more of a youth and prospect kind of mentality, but it hasn't stopped them from being competitive. And you're right, like Metsä came in a couple of years back, playoffs, has been steady. He's a great veteran, and it's great for him to be considered the leader for this team moving forward.
What do you expect from Levi this year?
So this is interesting because I think this path that the Sabres and Devon Levi have taken this year is one that he hasn't had really, because the last couple of years it was, oh, start in Buffalo. We're going to send you down. Oh, we're going to call you back up. Now, even though there was some big question marks in camp with Luukkonen being hurt, they signed Georgiev. They've stuck to the let's give Levi the best chance to start the season and develop and dominate and put his stamp on what he needs to achieve at the AHL level. So what am I expecting from him? Like an MVP kind of season, but not just for the Amherst. I want him to set himself apart as one, if not the best goaltender in the AHL, the best goaltender with Rochester leading the way most nights, playing three out of four. Let's go. Like, that is what I'm expecting, and I want to see for Devon Levi to be able to now say, I've done it all, right? Like, he still was waiver exempt this year. He won't be next year. So right. I've done it all, and now I'm ready full-time at the NHL after it.
Of course, Colton Ellis was not waiver exempt, and the Blues exposed him. The expectation internally and for Ellis himself was that he was likely going to start in Springfield, where he was their team MVP last year, and here he is as backup for Buffalo to Alex Lyon right now with Luukkonen out due to injury. At what point do you think we'll see Ellis in the Buffalo crease?
Oh, we could see him potentially on Monday or maybe next Wednesday. Okay, they're going to give Alex Lyon a little bit of a runway here because, well, especially I felt like he was really good last night. So if he goes into Boston, plays well, you come back with him Monday. But you kind of adjust. You laid out next week and you say, okay, well, I got to get my calendar at some point. But like what that looks like and pencil.
First seven games, there's no back-to-backs. So,
but you're not going to want to go Lyon all seven and leave Colton Ellis to say, hey, you know what? The last time you played was like ages ago. So I'm looking at you could probably – You could go Wednesday, Ottawa. You could go next week, Monday, Montreal. Maybe you give Lyon five and you give Montreal to Colton Ellis. But it all depends on how Lyon is going to play. Boston and Colorado may dictate what the rest of the week is going to look like.
Well, last night across the league when there were 14 games, you can imagine how many moments would leave you dazzled or disturbed. I think you're... mug of tea is probably half empty right now. You want to start with the disturbed side?
Okay, well, I'll start with the disturbed because it's goaltending related when it comes to disturbed. I'm a little disturbed with Andrei Vasilevskiy. And the reason I'm saying that is that he missed some time in preseason. He was the one that was in net when there was the brawls and he gave up all those goals. And he started last night. He just doesn't look himself. So I'm a little disturbed with Vasilevskiy. And if he's not going to be himself, maybe Tampa is going to, like, I think Tampa is a fantastic team. But who are you going to go with, you know, if Vasilevskiy has to take some time off or whatever?
Yeah.
So that's one. Hellebuck had me disturbed a little bit last night. But nothing had me disturbed more than Alex Nedeljkovic and the way the end of the game happened between Vegas and San Jose. San Jose was about to upset one of the best team in the NHL in the Vegas Golden Knights until Jack Eichel scored from center ice, and then in OT, Nedeljkovic went to go play the puck just to have Shea Theodore like kind of break it up, and Riley Smith ends up scoring in an empty net where Nedeljkovic is still at the tops of the circle. So you know, like bad things happen, but twice, a minute and a half to 2 minutes left in the third period and a minute into the overtime, like that was two bad bounces or two bad plays in a matter of 3 minutes, and it cost them a point.
Well, there was even more to it, believe it or not, because Akira Schmid had a third period save that could have made it a two-goal lead for San Jose. Yeah. And then Eklund had two chances at the empty net, couldn't get either of them in. And then on the continuation of that shift, Eichel scores on a lob from center that Deeks bounces to the right of Nedeljkovic. And he admitted, like, yeah, I kind of got caught in between whether I should go out and catch it or whether I should let it come to me. And, okay, you're thinking, well, this is very familiar, the way San Jose lost some games last year. But I can tell you I've never seen anything like it ever, to have a goal from center and then that type of goal against the same goalie in an overtime setting. So that was wild. I mean, hey, congrats San Jose on getting a point, but that was pretty rough. And, you know, I when you have so many games...
You know what, Duffer, quick disturb as well. Did you see the game-winning goal? It was a 5-1 game, but Vancouver-Calgary...
Well, you mean the one off of
the one of Kevin Ball's head? Like, so Filippito shoots the puck, it hits the defenseman in the head, he's down. Everybody's got their hands up, like almost like, oh, stop the play. But Filippito continued and shot it in basically an empty net because Dustin Wolf was sitting down. Like, I get it, you have to count the goal, but even Vancouver players were like signaling, like, oh, the guy is down. But it happens so quickly that there's nothing you can do.
Right, and obviously, you know, some other things last night. I loved Ryan O'Reilly's game winner.
That was dazzling. Dazzling.
It was, because, like, I love it when a highlight doesn't continue the way I expect it to. And as soon as he got it down low and then pulled it back to the forehand, I assumed he was just going to try and go around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for him to be able to then think, no, I'm going to go back and tuck this short side. Like, it was absolutely brilliant. And I mean, how many years did we sit and watch Ryan do things like that in practice around the crease? It's just persistence and perfection and patience and amazing from O'Reilly last night.
It was amazing. And it was Jet Graves who kind of got caught, right? Thinking, oh, I know what you're going to do. You don't know what I'm going to do, because I'm going to switch it and go to the backhand in tight. And oh, that was beautiful. He was dazzling. Zach Bolduc, who is a great addition, was dazzling as well with the Montreal Canadiens. He's got 3 goals in 2 games now.
He's no Dorofeev. We may talk about Pavel with Shayna Goldman coming up, and certainly the Sabres are looking forward to game two. That's in Boston tomorrow. Stay with us for updates on that, on the heels of opening night in Buffalo that featured some special moments on the blue and gold carpet.
I'm here to meet my bestie, Sophia. We're gonna have a great night, and hopefully we can give her a dub. So it's a big night.
Hey!
Ashman!
This is for you.
Thank you.
So you don't forget we're besties.
Oh,
and I got
besties.
One too.
Besties!
Oh! Go in!
That's so cool.
Are you ready for this, crazy?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Yay!
This is nuts.
We love you so much.
Thank you, Ramsey. All right, guys. Yeah, you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, did you read the bracelet?
No, I didn't. Well, I saw that it says besties, Sophia and Rasmus. I was actually going to make you a bracelet and Carolina.
We were faster than you.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah, you were. I know. I was going to make some. Remember, I literally just said that last night.
We were literally just talking about it last night and making you guys some.
Now we have one, though.
Okay, well, I'll still make you one.
All right. Okay. I would love that.
Okay.
I'm going to go in and get ready.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Go Buffalo.
Go Buffalo. Woo. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.